Let me say hello to everybody and welcome as always. Tonight's teleconference call is going to be in two parts. And without a whole lot of further ado, let me just explain to you that I'm going to mute everyone so that we have no background noise due to the large attendance. At the end of Robert Bell Scott's presentation, you will be allowed to ask questions, and in order to do that, I remind you that you have to press star 5 to raise your hand. And then I'll unmute you. So without further ado, let me have John take over. John?
Good evening, everyone. This is John Bergsteiner. Thank you, Mel. Been looking forward to this call because it's been quite a while since I've spoken to my buddy, Robert Scott Bell, but I'm excited about him being here tonight, and you guys are in for a treat because he really is. He's a driving force in the world of natural health, and he's doing a lot of good, and it's amazing that he's here with us tonight. Robert, I appreciate you doing that. Robert is a homeopathic physician. He is a radio personality. If I'm not mistaken, he has a nationally syndicated radio show. And he is also a published author of a book called Unlock the Power to Heal. And I'm just very excited to have you with us tonight. Robert, how are you?
Doing well, John. I'm glad to reconnect. It's been a while since we've got to hang out a little bit. So thanks for being here as well, and thanks for inviting me. You and Mel, I appreciate it.
Well, it's great to talk to you again. Are you? By the way, are you still living in the Atlanta area?
No, I travel around the world a lot with this information. I'm trying to get out. I hang out mostly in Central Florida right now with the family. I haven't been in Atlanta for a while. I was there for 30 years, and it was time. It was getting too big for me.
Yeah, I know you were living here back when I was, appearing on a couple of your shows, but quite a while
mm-hmm.
back. But it's really good to hook back up again for sure. Tonight we're gonna be talking to you in particular about Sovereign Silver and why we chose Sovereign Silver. And but before we do that, I wanted to just ask you a couple of quick questions. First of all, do you have any direct company affiliation with Natural Immunogenics, the company that makes Sovereign Silver?
No, I don't work directly for them. When they call, there are times where I will educate doctors or lay folks about the technology involved in producing different forms of silver to kind of clear up some of these things on different levels. And we'll share the unique properties because I spent the last 10 years, in addition to my homeopathics, investigating silver therapeutics because it's such a fascinating field, and we'll get into that this evening. From that perspective, I don't work in the facility. I don't make it, but I am happy to speak about it because I utilize it for my own family. My two kids have never been vaccinated, nor have they once ever had to have an antibiotic, thankfully, and a large part due to this form of silver.
Yeah, I hear you. I've been using Sovereign Silver myself for at least 25 years, as long as I can remember. I've had it in my medicine chest, and I just thought it was important people know that you're actually not a representative of Natural Immunogenics. You're an expert in the field. You can speak to. Mel?
Yeah.
Mel?
Somebody sharpening a pencil?
It sounded like somebody was cranking a battery. All right, can you do me a favor, Robert? Can you tell me your area code so I can mute everyone else but you and John?
The 770.
Okay, so I got it, and I know John's number, so I just mute everybody now until they want to ask questions. But I didn't know your area code, and so I didn't want to mute everyone initially until
sure.
to do it intelligently. Okay, so let me get this done and let you continue. I'm so sorry, sir. Go ahead, Robert.
Oh, yeah, no problem. All right, yeah. Well, the 770, because I was in Atlanta for so many years, and when I first got a cell phone, that was it. So nowadays, they just go with you. So if that confuses anybody, no worries. Now, John, you—I think we were interacting before you turned it over to me totally. So I don't want to just jump off into the full-on details of it. But no, I don't make any money on any sovereign silver sale or anything like that. I have a radio broadcast 6 days a week, 2 hours a day, through Genesis Communications and NaturalNewsRadio.com. It's also heard around the world on UK Health Radio through Stitcher Podcast, iTunes, as well as rebroadcast through Epic Times, which is Jerry Doyle's network. So. The information that I am invested in is in health, freedom, and healing liberty. And this particular product, Sovereign Silver, has a unique name for a reason. It's not chosen by accident. So the restoration of health sovereignty is a very important part of what I do.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, and I wanted to make sure everyone understood that you know, where you're coming from. You also, Robert, have... you know, the people that we are addressing tonight are people that, for the most part, that are dealing with a chronic illness named Mark Ellen's. We also have a lot of folks with Lyme and some other related things. But you also have personally overcome some chronic illnesses, and that played a role in you gaining the education that you've received, haven't you?
Yeah, the first 24 years of my life, I was suffering with chronic diseases almost from day zero with gastrointestinal issues. The doctors threatened surgery on me. I don't know, it was the grace of God that got me through that one. But I had musculoskeletal inflammatory disorders, severe gastrointestinal issues, hospitalized with constipation so severe as a child. The funny part of that is that my dad worked for the CV Fleet Pharmaceutical Company, so we got certain things for a discount or free, perhaps, that visit. But I was a pharmaceutical allopathic baby, and I was given baby formula because the doctors of that era all said that breast milk wasn't that great, that the best stuff they had invented is this powder, just add water. And I tell you what, I found out in retrospect, looking back, I was a pretty smart baby. I know I couldn't read the label, but something in my body knew it because I projectile vomited that stuff out as fast as they put it in me. And that was, you know, the starting point to say, hey, if you knew what was in that stuff, you wouldn't be giving that to your baby. But I had to survive. I adapted for survival. That's what we do. It's called the adaptation syndrome. If you studied Hanselier, you realize you do adapt to survive. And it's not ideal. I mean, not everything in there is good for me, but you find a way to take what will help you to survive and deal with the rest in another way. That starts the chronic adaptation. You become chronically ill at an early age for survival's sake. I had respiratory allergies. I had allergies to food, triggers in the environment, and so many things. 10 years plus of allergy shots, over-the-counter prescription medications, grew up on antibiotics, had the sinus surgery in my teen years, and none of that cured my allergies. Still had gastrointestinal problems and still taking shots at Emory University in Atlanta when that fateful moment when the straw broke the camel's back and the doctors admitted that they didn't know why I was sick when I asked them point blank. And then my next question was, you know, I'm not holding up much hope, but will I ever be well? And and they didn't have an answer, except as I was walking out, never to return, maybe one day you'll grow out of it. And that was it for me. That was it, you know. And I find later that if you're a woman, they'll tell you to go get pregnant, maybe it'll go away. I mean, and I'm not exaggerating. Any ladies on the call, you may have heard this before. But I realized then, even though I grew up in a medical family and my uncle was a medical doctor, that there were limits to their knowledge. And I didn't have that concept before that moment. And at that moment, it kind of dashed my dreams to become a medical doctor because I thought, I always knew since I was a baby, or let's say at the point where I was conscious of it, that I wanted to grow up and heal and help people to get well. But first and foremost, I think I had to get myself well, and that was part of my initial journey.
Yeah, I remember when we first met, how many things that we had in common in our background, and it turned out to be a prophetic thing what those doctors said to you, that one day you grow out of it because you literally have grown out of it through knowledge and acquisition of knowledge and understanding mm-hmm. of how the body works. I had the great blessing and privilege of growing up with a father who was a physician that was a mm-hmm. pioneer of natural medicine. And you also came up under the tutelage of a pioneer in natural medicine. And really owe a lot of your knowledge to the things you learned from him. Can you tell us about him?
Well, yeah, you know, as far as having a teacher, you know, if you understand the whole way that we used to learn to become masters at any craft or art or science was, it wasn't that you went into a mass education program and that was watered down to the lowest common denominator. It was about finding a master teacher or artisan, someone who had achieved it as a doctor, and you would work side by side with that person for X number of years, perhaps decades, depends on what you were learning, to learn the craft until you were kicked out unceremoniously or you were just sent on your way. That was the concept of master-apprentice relationships. Throughout history, this is how people became doctors, and it wasn't until it became institutionalized, in a sense, particularly even more so than any other time in recorded history in 1910 with the publication of the Flexner Report. Abraham and Simon Flexner were hired to put together a preordained report in support of the Rockefeller and Carnegie Foundations to establish petrochemical medicine in the 20th century to be the only legitimate medicine. And they did this by basically taking control of the entire medical education system. When there were homeopathic medical schools, there were eclectic herbal medicine medical schools, naturopathic medical schools, etc. And over the course of the first half of the 20th century, they declined until they were almost unheard of. And through my young life in America, growing up allopathically, I'd never even heard the word homeopathy until I was 24 years of age. At that point, I met my mentor who had emigrated from Belgium to America to start a laboratory here. And I began to learn things about medical history that I'd never been taught in America, even about my own history of my own country. That was hidden from me. And it was quite a dramatic turn of events in my life that changed my life for the better, but it was a long road to go still to recover my health.
Well, I know that, like me, you're very, very thankful for the experience that you had of being exposed to that mm-hmm. kind of knowledge. We're going to talk about why sovereign silver, but before we do, I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about why silver to begin with, because with all of the mounting, you know, news of different pandemics like Ebola and Morgellons and Lyme and bird flu, I mean, you name it, but there's been a growing demand for silver. So talk about why silver in the first place.
Well, yeah, it's an interesting story how that came about too, John. The focal point of my homeopathic practice was really on detoxification. I had to detoxify my body of many heavy metals because of vaccines and a mercury fillings, what they call silver fillings. And I was helping many families with children that had also had, you know, metal burdens, particularly mercury, and to detox. So even though I knew of silver as a potential medicine in history, I'd learned, I was very reluctant to embrace it because I was dealing with such metal burdens across the spectrum of people that came to me for help. So, you know, I understood that there was a desire to utilize it for immune challenges or microbial challenges, bacterial infections and things. And there were times when, although I can deal with these things homeopathically pretty readily, that people were traveling or I was gone, and then I'd get a call after the fact that they were very upset, not necessarily with me, but with themselves because they were frightened. Their child had a fever. They didn't know what to do. They panicked. They went to the doctor, and the doctor prescribed an antibiotic drug. And so part of me said, you know, it would be nice if folks had access to something that, you know, in a real crisis or pinch, they could rely upon that would have the efficacy, if you will, to tamp down an infection. But I would have to insist that it would have to have the safety of a homeopathic medicine. Little did I know I would find a form of silver to do that, which we'll get to. But as I, you know, discovered silver has a broad history of use in terms of immune issues, particularly because it had the ability to tamp down infections. There's so much more as I began to explore the medical literature and the peer-reviewed literature, you know, publishing back from the 1890s all the way to the 2000s. And the vast acceleration of experimentation and exploration into what silver's properties are. And we can get very technical if you want on any of those things as well. But just in a general sense, silver has been used in modern medicine, even in the 20th century, as an antimicrobial. They used to drop silver nitrate, diluted silver nitrate drops into the eyes of newborn babies to prevent transmission of venereal infection through the birth canal, potentially. And there's a reason they chose silver nitrate. They didn't have anything else at that point, but it was very efficient through much of the first parts of the 20th century and then began to be abandoned, as with everything else natural, when they discovered sulfa drugs and antibiotics.
Right. Well, silver was in widespread use before the introduction of those pharmaceuticals, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah. It was even in the pharmacopoeia. So it was a normally an accepted form of medicine to be utilized with great success. The only risk associated was argyria or argyrosis, localized bluing or systemic bluing or graying of the skin, which we can get into the reason for that and the reason why I'm not at all concerned about that with the use of sovereign silver, this form of silver hydrosol.
Well, let me interrupt, because that's a marvelous thing that in many of the first phone calls with new people, gentlemen, they're always asking me, am I going to turn blue from the silver?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very common question. And now I can answer that very readily, or I'll ask them a question. How soon do you think you can get to 178,850 teaspoons? And they'll look at me and shake their heads and laugh and wait, well, I don't think very soon. I said, yeah, and even if you got there, that wouldn't be enough. So we have a safety margin that was what I had asked for when I prayed for these things. That would be equivalent to a homeopathic medicine in terms of its safety, the ability to utilize it safely at any and all times, at any and all ages for prolonged periods of time should it be necessary. It's not always necessary for prolonged use, but when it is, you're certainly glad you can use it safely and not be concerned for discoloration. Again, we can get into why that is the case and the distinctions in different forms or species of silver to give people that understanding of where this information is coming from so they interact with it appropriately.
Yeah, that's probably a worthwhile discussion if you don't mind going into why some forms of silver do cause argyria, but not the forms that we're recommending.
Yeah, of course. Now, silver again is a metal. It's a transitional some form into the heavy metal realm, but it's distinct from the heavy metals like cadmium, arsenic, lead, aluminum, as well as mercury, of course, in that it doesn't have a deleterious impact, that is a negative or harmful impact to healthy mammalian cells or tissue. And that is an important distinction to make. So just to call something a heavy metal doesn't automatically confer a damning interaction. Every metal has to be taken of its own accord and its own properties, and every form of that metal has to be considered. When you talk about toxicology, metal toxicology, species, just like you have species of animals, right? You could have a tabby cat at home, which is part of the feline family, and you could have a mountain lion. And if you have a mountain lion, I'm not coming over to your house because it could eat me. You know, that's not good. But the thing is, they're both cats, but wildly different forms or species of cat. And it's important to understand that in the form of forms of silver that are out there, silver is not silver is not silver when you talk about colloidal forms or a mixture of different forms. So in terms of toxicology, you have to assess the form as well as the amount and also understand the pathways of excretion or elimination of each of those forms. So I don't want to bore anybody with high-level science here, but I think it's important to understand that just because it's colloidal silver doesn't mean it's the same thing as every other silver. Colloidal silver is an umbrella term, which means silver suspended in water. It doesn't tell you about the kind of silver. It doesn't tell you whether that silver is bound into compounds or complex relationships. It doesn't tell you the quantity of that silver. It doesn't tell you the particle size, which is important. It doesn't tell you whether that silver contains or carries an electrical charge either. All of these things are very important to consider if you're going to know what you're dealing with and why you're dealing with it. Because for the typical American, of which in many ways I am, if I say, I've got a 10 part per million colloidal silver called sovereign silver, and somebody says, well, I have a 250 part per million mild silver protein, you know, people will often say, well, 250 sounds way stronger than 10. but is it? Now, here we get into a concept of particle sizes, because if you have 250 parts per million, you could never put that much silver into suspension. It would fall out of suspension. It would precipitate out. The capacity for silver to suspend or carry in suspension that amount of silver just isn't there. So what's done in these high ppm or parts per million concentration is that you trick the water, if you will. You put the silver into a protein like casein or some of you soy protein, different forms of protein, and you put that silver, a compounded form of silver inadvertently, like silver salt, into that protein, and it's the protein that is suspended in the water. So that's why it's called a mild silver protein, but a lot of people refer to it as colloidal silver just the same. And it separates the silver from your ability to use it by two or three steps. And so the vast majority of silver in that context is unavailable and not biofunctional for your body and may never leave your body because it's not easy for the body to bind and excrete complex or compounded forms of silver. So more is not better. More becomes toxic. Again, this is my training as a homeopath. It fit right into that, which is why when I met the family at Natural Immunogenics many years ago and explored their process of manufacture and what they had done and what they had claimed they had done, which was extraordinary, I had to see it with my own eyes. And that's where we get into, again, different forms or species of silver, which were in the midst of that discussion. So, John, if I'm being too complicated, please help me to say it simpler.
No, I think you're doing a fantastic job. It really is. There's so much disinformation out there and so many people hawking very inferior products. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as far as, you know, the cat's out of the bag, the fact that these people are suffering with Morgellons, you know, wherever there are people suffering, they're going to be carnivores circling mm-hmm. the wagon, so to speak. And
sure.
So we see that, and we've seen it for, you know, 7 years now of people being targeted by unscrupulous people trying to, you know, sell them something that, you know, is going to be a silver bullet and work overnight.
Right.
And it's just not mm-hmm. that simple when you're talking about somebody that's got basically bioterrain that is not functioning, like, you know, anywhere near normal capacity.
Correct. Yeah, that's very important. And that's why I make these distinctions that I have to go below the surface. I can't accept marketing materials as fact. And having a radio show is something that's unique in that you're very much in demand for talking about products. So people send me things all the time and hoping that I will, you know, endorse or talk about them. And it rarely would happen because most don't have this kind of background and validation in this regard. And I'm not saying that purveyors of different forms of colloidal silver are necessarily purposefully dishonest. They may genuinely believe what they are telling you, but they may not also have the validation to confirm it, or they may not have the deep level understanding of the scientific, let's say, properties and the best way to release those properties and have that Western mindset that, well, more is better. Or bigger is better, when in fact it's not. And when you think about something here that's also critical in understanding why I use the silver hydrosol versus a generic colloidal silver or these high ppm concentrations, it is the efficiency of having a smaller particle. The larger the particle, let's just imagine if you had a boulder of silver or something equivalent, the size of your fist, a large chunk of silver, the only thing that could interact with the environment is what's called the surface area, that outer coating of that big ball of silver. Now, that's very inefficient because there's loads more silver inside that big ball that you can't get at, and it can't, you know, it's not released. It's stuck. It's locked away. It's inefficient. So you've got a large chunk of silver. Now, if you can somehow obliterate it into hundreds of trillions of little tiny pieces, the smaller the better, the more surface area will be available to you per volume of water. Think of it this way. You can't fit that big fist-sized silver into a glass of water. Now, if you broke that up into smaller rocks, maybe a few can fit in that glass of water. What if you broke it into smaller pebbles? More can fit in there. What if you broke those pebbles into grains of sand-sized particles? What if you now take that and obliterate that into specks of dust or even smaller? And now what we're talking about is approaching an extraordinarily small level of nanometer-sized particles. That's a billionth of a meter. which now releases square kilometers or miles of surface area per area of water, per drop, per teaspoon. And so your efficiency goes up when the particle size goes down. And that is something that allows you to do with 10 parts per million, that 500 parts per million of these larger conglomerated compounded particles of silver could never do. You get to be able to use less, therefore you never risk toxicity. And again, with our concern for a functional issue, with a cosmetic issue with the Argyria scenario, but I don't want to risk that for my children that comes to see me for help. So that visual hopefully is helpful to you, and then I'll get into the validation of it as well. But hopefully that makes sense, John.
Definitely, it definitely makes sense. You're going to have better access to the tissues the smaller it is. It will utilize mm-hmm. what's there much more efficiently.
Exactly.
This protocol has is all about restoring efficiency to all of the different organs and metabolites and pathways mm-hmm. in the body. And then by the time you've done that, people have gone from just complete and total despair, having been chewed up and spit out by Western medicine, to having some productivity and function back, but then they're still facing pockets of biofilm and things like that.
Right.
We're dealing with pleomorphic organisms are very, very, very good at avoiding not only the immune conventional antibiotics. And the particle size that you're talking about of sovereign silver comes into play in regard to getting at them where other things cannot, does it not?
Yes, absolutely. Transit and that is transport. The smaller, the easier it is to do so. You'd be concerned about the size in the nano realm. It's also easier simultaneously to bind and then excrete. So you're not dealing with bioaccumulation either. So the good news is that the smaller does make it more dangerous for the human or healthy mammalian tissue, but it makes it more lethal over the microbial burden, and it makes it more efficient in terms of delivering its properties of its bringing oxygen into the body with it, because silver, among many of its properties, is an oxygen sponge. And it can carry as much as its atomic weight in oxygen. The oxygen it carries with it. So it brings in copious amounts of oxygen, which, as you know, John, can facilitate very, very powerful immune cascades by flooding the B lymphocytes. And it's part of the white blood cells, the defense mechanisms of the body, use that oxygen very efficiently to produce reactive oxygen, RBCs, ROS, which is then used to disrupt the metabolic and respiratory pathways of these forms, these microbes, these bacterial species, these pathogens, the yeast, the candida, different forms of fungal species, as well as stopping viruses. So it is a simultaneous benefit, which is also explains why there's no resistance like to antibiotics that is developed. There's too many things going on, and we've only touched on maybe one or two so far.
Exactly. So you might want to touch on a little bit on the validation. We don't have mm-hmm. to go too deep, but just go a little bit into the validation,
sure.
because it really sets this product apart and is more than anything else the reason why Mel selected Sovereign Silver.
Right. Well, it's very much similar to what Mel's experience was mine when I went to visit them, because I was very skeptical. And I didn't just dive in because they said what they said. I went down there and I looked. And in the manufacturing facility, they have a transmission electron microscope. I had the great opportunity when I was in Atlanta and DeKalb County, I was in a magnet scientific program where I actually got to work on electron microscopy as a high schooler. And I thought, this is the coolest thing, but I'll never do this ever again. And, you know, come to be, I visit them and they have an electron microscope. I'm thinking, this is astonishing. Nobody has this. I mean, these are only research university tools. And this small little silver company had one to validate every batch coming off of the line as to what kind of particles they were producing. And then on top of that, they had analyzed colloidal silvers from all over the world, including homemade units, to analyze what was being produced so they can validate that they indeed had made a breakthrough. And it was extraordinary when I started looking at these cloud-like dispersions of this form of this, what they call the bioactive silver hydrosol, with these nanometer size and sometimes smaller particles in this uniform dispersion, which would indicate the electrical activity, in other words, the integrity of the functionality of the silver, because it's not neutral silver that does something. It has to have the electrical charge. I encourage all of the people on the call tonight, those of you who are into the egghead science of it, to read a book called The Body Electric by Dr. Robert Becker, and you'll find a lot of the properties of silver that he uncovered and what he initially thought was the release of electricity into the wounds that he was analyzing that showed elimination of infection, a reduction of inflammation, an acceleration of tissue regrowth, for instance, healing, regenerative impact, was not the electricity, but it was because of the silver ions that were released that carried an electrical charge that did all the work. And so what they had done was validated visually everything. And when I saw all of the other silvers from around the world with my own eyes, I prepared my own samples to be sure that indeed most of these things at the level at which our bodies would interact with them looked like a veritable train wreck of large boulder-sized particles relative or agglomerations. The energy wasn't there, so they began to just bind with each other, or there were contaminants that they didn't mean to put there or that they meant to put there, whether they were packaged in plastic or proteins were added or salts. Everything that made it so inefficient that only a small percentage of the silver and those other forms of silver were actually working. And this is the interesting thing. And, you know, Mel, you might have heard some folks that would use a form of colloidal silver that I wouldn't use or you wouldn't use, and they say, well, it helped me. Well, I don't dispute that. But the fact of the matter is, whatever percentage of silver whatever the total amount of silver is, it's only a small fraction of percentage of that silver would be utilized. The rest would be wasted and may never leave the body, whereas with the sovereign silver, we were getting as close to 100% of functionality and excretion. And so there was nothing wasted. Again, the kung fu concept, my kung fu is better than your kung fu, that's the concept here. It's about the law of economy, being efficient with every action and not overdoing it, never having to go beyond what is needed. And that's what we had, and that's what I saw validated in that manufacturing facility, which I've never seen duplicated.
Yeah, that's a beautiful concept, too, because it's just the American way seems to be if a little bit is good, a lot must be better. And that can get you in trouble fast.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And, you know, we know it because we live that way in the West, and that was my upbringing. I had to, you know, unlearn that to become a homeopath. Then, of course, to stretch out and to utilize silver, I had to really be confident and confirm that we had a form of a substance that would not add to the toxic burden of the body, because let's face it, everybody on this call is suffering with some form of, if not microbiological burden, certainly a metallic or environmental burden, and we don't want to increase the stress on the organs of elimination. And with this form of silver, we do not do that. And that was very critical for me because I'm very serious about the first do no harm principle, which is the first thing the allopathic medical doctors violate when they become doctors.
Well, that's very interesting because we have four mantras, maybe five. And the first mantra on this website, which was taught to me by the first doctor who acknowledged and was willing to treat this disease, was first do no harm. So, buddy, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I do have a question that's a little different, but I really would like to know this. One of my teachers was John Lebecki. Are you familiar with him?
I know of him. I don't think I've studied him.
Okay. Well, he's considered a guru out on our coast. And from him, I was sent to John. So
beautiful connection.
I don't have your kind of knowledge, but I got a little. That's the only way I felt I could get better.
Well, I think that goes beyond book learning or having a high medical degree, which I have recoined the concept of a degree, because the people that have them often don't use the sense God may have given them, is that there's a gut instinct. There's a gut knowledge that we've been told to abandon by those with these higher degrees, and we have made a very, very dangerous and difficult, well, it's a horrible mistake. especially with the moms in listening now, especially if they have had kids that were harmed by vaccines, for instance, they had a gut, something was telling them there's something wrong here, don't do it, and they did it. I've talked to so many moms over the years about this. And so don't sell anybody in this audience, don't sell them short, yourself short, on your ability to discern with that gut sense, that feeling. It's very real. It's trying to protect you. And so don't abandon it in the face of authority or authoritarians. That's an important
thing. I never have. I believe about instincts beyond most human beings. I trust my instincts more than anybody I know.
Beautiful. Well, we could all learn from that.
Thank
you, Robert. It's, I don't know if you've had an opportunity to look at Mel's website at all, but it is the perfect example of what goes on here. Is a post that was made a couple of days ago by a lady named Amber, and we see it over and over and over. People, they're exposed to knowledge and understanding, and they become basically walking examples of Romans 12, where they're no longer conforming to the patterns of this world, but they're being transformed by the renewing of their mind. And it is a beautiful, incredible thing. I encourage you, when you have the time, to just take a look at Mel's website, his forum, and look at the transformation of the lives that are going on there, day in, day out. It's beautiful.
Well, I could feel it the first time I connected with Mel on the phone, that's where his heart is, and I'm so grateful to connect and help out in any way I can.
We appreciate that. Mel, I'll suggest that we open the floor to questions for Dr.
Well, I was thinking that was a good idea, if that's okay with Robert. And I think I'd like to test what I told everybody earlier by utilizing Pete. Peter, I'd like you to press star 5, and let's see if it does something on my screen so I know you want to ask a question.
And also, if there are more properties you want me to go through into the silver before we open the forum totally, I'm flexible with you. I just want to serve the folks that are here in the best way I can.
Well, I think that if we continue, it may get a little too complicated for the people who are newest, because all people who suffer from these diseases these days have a certain amount of brain fog. But, I mean, you understand why we selected Sovereign Silver. You have no financial affiliation with them, and we wanted someone with your type of credentials who was going to say, hey, the boys did a fine job. This is the best there is.
Oh, yeah. Yes, 100% on that, and I'm so glad, because, again, I've gone through a lot of this myself over the years to come to the same conclusion.
Okay. Unless there's something that you feel that you've missed, I'd like to open the floor to questions. And since whatever I asked Peter to do didn't work, I'm just going to let Pete ask the first question. I'm going to unmute everyone and ask you to please be quiet, and one at a time we'll field questions. But first, I'm going to go ahead and let a gentleman who spends a lot of time, of his time, trying to help others as well. I call him my younger brother because he's a pain in the butt. Peter, say hello and ask the first question.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity to be here, Mel, and God bless you for all you do, brother.
Do you have any questions for our guest?
I have a comment. What a genuine pleasure, and so grateful to have you as someone who has reached remission from this insidious disease, come back from the edge, Robert. To have you confirm for me many of the things that my inner self told me, much like it moves in you. I had a mentor, much like you did, in the form of, I had two, but I had a strong spiritual mentor in the form of John, and a kick-me-in-the-butt mentor in the form of my captain, the one that brings this to all of us, this miracle, Mel Friedman. What you've told us tonight is invaluable. I've been trying to get this message out to people in my own simple ways through my posting on Mel site and through another blog that I've corrected, that I've started. I'm shaken here with the knowing of what you've shared with us tonight. People may not grasp it immediately right now, but I think the little man in the back of their head, as they experience moving along their journey back to health, which this protocol definitely brings forth, will further understand what you've shared tonight. I had the blessings of having the benefit of God working in my life much in the way it sounds like he did for you, too. So that having been said, I want to commend you and applaud you for being here tonight and let you know that if someone's come back from the edge, I'm grateful. Other than that, I have many questions, but I'm going to open it up to other people because I'm too excited right now. God bless you, Robert. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Very kind of you. Very kind. Thank you.
You know, Robert, the bottom line to me was that if we go with the very best there is and even one more person gets well because of it, it's worth it.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I've unmuted all of you, so if anyone has a question, just say your name. If you hear their name first, just wait and you'll go next. Does anyone have a question for our guest?
Arlene,
go ahead.
I have a bottle of Sovereign Silver, but is there many companies that make it?
No, it's manufactured by Natural Immunogenics. They're in Sarasota, Florida, and it's the only place. They're importing it, or exporting, I should say, to a number of countries around the world, and they've achieved pretty extraordinary interactions with the regulatory bodies that are trying purposefully and very forcefully to ban silver from its use because of its apparent competitive properties with antimicrobial drugs and so many other drugs that are multi-billion dollar industry. So they've had to overcome a lot to maintain their place in the market. In the United States, they can't make any drug claims because they're considered a dietary supplement. They do have a silver that's combined with a homeopathic form of silver that's a topical gel that is considered an OTC drug because homeopathic medicine is regulated differently than supplements. But they are the only ones that make it.
Okay, can I say
that
it's available through our protocol page? Is that what you were trying to ascertain, Arlene?
No, I have the bottle, and it's from Natural Immunogenics, and it has a maintenance, an immune-building dose, a long-term dose, and a short-term dose. Which do you recommend using?
Well, when you're dealing with any kind of long-standing immune condition, Morgellons included, your typical, and this is a general approach, but it's pretty much across the board, it can work. You're doing a teaspoon orally five times daily. And
let's hold the noise down.
You can do more than that per day, but from the standpoint of long-term use, that's a typical long-term immune dose. A teaspoon orally, five times daily, local application of the liquid or the gel as needed, wherever it's needed.
Do you have to have it with food or no food?
No, if you can put it directly in your mouth when you get good at it, you pour it right in, or you count the droppers full, like five droppers full is considered a teaspoon. There is a protocol I wrote about in my book, Unlock the Power to Heal, that addresses gastrointestinal healing to recover the epithelial lining so that you have basically the proper terrain for the good gut ecology to reestablish itself in there. And that's a different way to use it, which we can talk about if Mel or anybody's interested, but I want to stay with what everybody else needs at this moment.
I have a question of clarification for that, Robert. For widespread infection, do you recommend using this product under the tongue, or do you recommend using it orally, or drinking it down in order to maximize the health of the gut too?
Well, the systemic absorption usually happens sublingually, so it's a rapid absorption into the blood and primarily the lymphatic system for immune modulation and direct interaction all over the body, whereas if you have something focused in the gastrointestinal tract like yeast overgrowth or dysbiosis, microbial infection of the stomach, intestine, or elsewhere, then you will want to drive it into the gut, but a teaspoon will not be sufficient stomach. In fact, you'd have to go over 2 tablespoons to guarantee any delivery of that silver past the stomach to interact with the GI further along the tract. That's where we do the silver aloe combination for specific reasons of delivery into the gut. And again, it is a life changer for those who need it, but under normal immune circumstances, it's mostly sublingual administration into the lymph and blood.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any other questions?
I have a comment, Laura.
Hi, Laura. Go ahead.
I think it's important for you to stress that the silver generator, you know, that you can make your own. You alluded to it, but
yes.
As a former chemistry major, I know that these things aren't always the same, as you said. So if you would just
right.
reiterate that. And I have read the material on sovereign silver and believe what you say.
Yes. Well, that's a very important point. I'm glad you bring it up again because, yes, you can make it at home. There are colloidal silver generators you can buy. And I sort of half joke about it. I said, unless the zombie apocalypse hits and you can't access sovereign silver, I don't recommend making your own. And the reason being is because the properties of the silver you produce, it's not going to be the same because you're going to produce large agglomerate particles. You're going to produce salts. You're going to produce things that are not going to be efficient in the body and may never be detoxified. But you will have a small percentage of even homemade silver that will do something of value. The question is at what price? If it costs you pennies on the dollar, yet fraction of that penny has any benefit and the rest of it is wasteful or bioaccumulative, it's not a good deal. And again, if for some reason the entire economy of the world collapses and you can't get it, okay, I would rather have some silver than not. But for a functional use, what we're talking about, I don't think you'd have any way that you could take enough of that form of homemade silver to achieve what we're talking about here. And if you did take that quantity, you would likely discolor yourself unnecessarily.
As in turn blue.
Correct. Argyria, yes, that's correct.
Halloween is past, folks.
Yes.
All right. Are there any more questions for our esteemed guest?
Dawn?
Dawn, go ahead.
Our doctor has us on something called NCS 200 for Lyme/Morgellons. How does that compare to the Sovereign Silver?
I think it's ACS 200, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, and it comes in a plastic bottle, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I say is if you have 200 parts per million in a plastic bottle, the vast majority is going to be dumping out the plastifiers and binding with them. When I've analyzed that under a transmission electron microscope, the one batch I remember testing tested it like 80. It wasn't 200. But the particle size, again, was not efficient. It's not that it wouldn't work or it wouldn't help, but for me, why use 200 when you can achieve much more with 10? And, you know, some doctors get sold into the idea that more is better. It's pretty common in the West. But when I looked and analyzed the particle sizes and the consistency batch to batch, it was not something I personally would rely upon. They have other good products, so I'm not saying they're a bad company, but they don't have the expertise at producing the silver the way the Natural Immunogenics Corp does.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'd like to ask a quick question here. Who is calling from the 949 area code? Okay. Do we have any other questions for Robert?
Caitlin?
Go ahead.
Good evening, Robert. Thank you for taking my question here, and I've been fascinated by everything you've had to say. My question is regarding the book you had suggested on Body of Electric.
The body electric, yes. Dr. Robert Becker. Yeah, Becker, B as in boy, E-C-K-E-R, Dr. Robert Becker, The Body Electric. It's one of the seminal books if you want to understand some of the discoveries that helped propel the science of silver in the 20th century.
Okay. And I think you've answered everything else for me thus far, so I thank you for answering that.
Good. Hey, now, John and Mel, you may already address this more extensively on the website, but I will say, the only concern that I ever have for someone, you know, coming to me, and this has been for years since I'm a homeopath, is if people have congested pathways of elimination, liver congestion, deficiencies in selenium or other minerals that would corrupt their pathways of excretion. Because if we modulate immunity as we need to do in these folks, and their bodies cannot eliminate the debris from a successful immune battle, it can be more difficult than it needs to be. So we talk about drainage or detoxification as part and parcel to recovery as well. You know, so as I look at silver and use it therapeutically, I understand how it fits into the big scheme of things. And it's bound, this form of silver, in the phase two conjugation pathways in the liver. It's a selenium-dependent pathway, the production of metallothionines and glutathione. So if anybody is at all concerned, and we all should be, with detoxification, looking at the many things that could support that, whether it be alpha lipoic acid or other things, or homeopathic drainage remedies, or food grown 100% whole food selenium. These are some of the things I write about in my book as well, but I just want to be sure that people understand that there is a debris field that is developed when you are successful in an immune battle at overcoming any kind of microbial challenge. And the pathways of excretion are very important to consider along the way. But the silver is not going to add to the toxic burden in and of itself, because we're dealing with microgram homeopathic doses. But the debris from a successful immune battle is real, and we want to support that that elimination pathway all the way out. So I just wanted to add that just in case it was not discussed intensely before me.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. That's one of the things that you run into so often when dealing with Western medicine, medical doctors who, you know, the few who even recognize that, for example, candida overgrowth exists, they'll throw them on very powerful antifungals and not give them any liver support to help them detox the mycotoxins and, like you say, kind of clean up the battlefield. And it makes for severe Hirschs reactions and a lot of difficulty for the patient. And it's really not necessary. So we've addressed this
since the beginning.
From the very beginning,
I figured as such, but
yeah, we clear these folks' detox pathways before we even get them started with the. We call it more of a defensive strategy first before we even introduce the offensive strategies.
And beautiful. I had a feeling that you did, but I just like I said, I have for any new listeners, just in case they'd be jumping on this and not realize all of that. I'm glad that I was able to relate it and confirm that you are also aware.
Excellent.
Any other questions for our guest? Well, I can't personally thank you enough, sir. And I kind of look forward to the next time you and I just get to chat on the phone. And thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to reach out. This is what I live for, to help others, to, you know, bring the power to heal back to where it belongs with each and every one of you listening. If anybody is in Las Vegas, I'm going to be going out there the 14th, 15th, and 16th of November for the ACAM Medical Conference, and I'll be speaking at a couple of public venues. I'd love to meet you, help you out in person in any way I can do that. Just, you know, stay in touch with me or Mel, you know, reach out, and I'll let you know where I'll be.
I'm sure John has.
I wanted to also remind people of your book, which is called Unlock Power to Heal. And tell them how they can find that.
Well, it's available on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble online. Also, if you want the electronic version, you can go to unlockthepowertoheal.com. And you can download the PDF right away. So appreciate if anybody wants to learn more about a lot of things that is very very aligned with everything that you and Mel and John do. I'd be grateful for it, helping me to spread the word to bring, as I say, the power to heal back where it belongs.
Sir, we have one more question for you.
Sure.
So I'm going to unmute Peter. And, yeah, I believe Peter has another question for you.
Yeah, thanks, Mel. Robert, I want to give everybody else a chance to ask questions, but I couldn't get in quick enough. I have a quick question. I've been feeling what I think is success from adding in John's Renaissance activated whey protein with the rejuvenase enzymes. And I understand the science as the small peptide chains have antimicrobial properties. Does the silver in any way interact with those, increase those properties, diminish those properties, or complement those properties, reinforce them in any way?
Right. I don't think there's any contraindication, honestly. If there's anything, you'd have a synergistic effect. I mean, they work a little bit in different pathways. I tend to want to have the silver taken on its own, not mixed with anything, because of it's so functional, so bioactive, that if you took it with a supplement, it would neutralize some percentage of that silver right away before it had the biggest benefit for the body. But there's certainly no contraindication. Non-denatured whey also is known as well for enhancing glutathione production, which is absolutely wonderful. So there's a lot of things that can be of great benefit by utilizing both. But again, at separate moments, the only exception to that separate moment rule is that silver allo protocol, which again I write more about in the book, when we have to address the gut inflammation, the chronic gut inflammation, the dysbiosis, the yeast overgrowth, the leaky gut, the colitis, Crohn's, irritable bowel, and diverticulitis. All of those require the silver to be delivered further into the GI canal to address the inflammation and infection and accelerate regeneration of the healthy tissue that's so necessary. And there are other adjuncts that I would use as well, but that is a real life changer and an accelerant, because it took me 2 years to recover my gut with homeopathy and supplementation and good food, organic food. But when I discovered this and we integrated it, I could do in 2 months what I had a hard time doing in 2 years. So it was a great accelerant, and in some cases, a shorter time frame. So to your question, I don't think that they have a direct interaction, but they're very complementary.
Thank you. And it's important. That's what I wanted to understand as far as proximity to dosing, the separate nature of the silver properties, and then the Renaissance. And thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, and if you hold the silver sublingual or in the mouth for 30 seconds, a minute or two, the longer you hold it there, the more complete it absorbs so rapidly through the mucosa. And then it's less concerning for me whether you have just eaten a meal or not, right? A lot of folks will say, well, do I have to wait an hour or something? And if your mouth is clean and you're holding it there, that's where it will absorb. So there's less of a concern for binding with food and having it less available for you. If you are driving it into the gut with the silver allo protocol, then yes, take it on an empty stomach so it can have easier transit, and then you can follow up with food in a half hour or so, or even an hour. But for most oral use protocols, just make sure the mouth is clean for rapid absorption there.
I always recommended that you take the first dose right after you get up in the morning, because it always gave me a little boost of energy, Robert.
Yeah. And it does have success in addressing the biofilm issue. We know that these nanoparticles are able and capable with their electrical activity in the body to really penetrate the biofilms, which are very difficult for so many other supplements and substances to do.
Exactly.
And we're going to let John finish, because I think... Go, John.
We have incorporated some protocol in the protocol that over time degrade the biofilms and expose these communities even more to the silver or whatever other tools are being used by the individuals based on what their practitioners' recommendations are.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Well, Robert, we are also blessed to have you with us tonight, and I can't even begin to thank you enough. It's been great to reconnect with you, and I look forward to hopefully getting to catch up with you again soon.
Well, I certainly look forward to seeing you again real soon. And Mel as well, thank you. I feel blessed to connect with you all. And everybody here, my message to you is, and it's the God's honest truth, the power to heal is yours.
I only have one last question, buddy.
Okay.
I'm in Reno, so if I come to Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
unless it's healing, if it's healing, then we'll tell everybody.
All right.
Amen. All right, guys.
Thank you so much
for the night.
God bless you, buddy.
Take care.
Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this show's already run over an hour, and I'm thinking that I wanted to get one more show in before the Christmas holidays anyway, so I'm thinking that maybe it would be better to field questions from all of you now for either myself, for John, and Peter, and get that other show in 2 or 3 weeks from now, and address the other part of this conference call then. So, I'm going to first say, if there's anybody who has a question for John, speak up now, one at a time.
John, this is Peter. I want to know how your family's doing and how you're doing in general. We all love you, so how you doing?
Hey, brother. I love you, too. Everybody's doing great. You guys don't know this. My daughter totaled her car last Thursday, but she's good. She's all, not wearing a neck brace or anything now, and she's doing very well.
Amen.
Thank you, Peter. Is Caroline here tonight? Caroline? She had sent me an email indicating she would be here tonight, and she had a question about MMS, and since she had issues with her metabolic pathways for some of the B vitamins and so forth, and also issues with metabolizing sulfur. She was wondering if MMS was going to be a problem for her, and I just wanted to make sure she realized that MMS is not sulfur. MSM is sulfur, but MMS is chlorine dioxide, and or not chlorine dioxide. Anyway, there's no problem with sulfur metabolism with MMS. So I wanted to make sure she knew that. Anybody else have
any questions? Anybody else who has any questions for John?
Yes, I do. Hi, I'm Julie.
Who is I do?
My name is Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, how are you, John?
Doing great.
My question is about the Renaissance the Whey protein, which I did, I have on hand. What
yes,
do you
ma'am.
Recommend to use it in, and how much a liquid do you put it in? It doesn't actually state that.
Oh, that's an excellent question.
So I was curious, yes.
I typically use almond milk with it.
Uh-huh.
And I will mix in with it fresh fruits and maybe some avocado and make like a smoothie.
Uh-huh.
And I also add, the supplements, my morning supplements in with it as well.
Wow.
Which really turns out to be a real blessing because there's a lot less pills to take, and you're also getting rid of all the pills that are in capsules. You're getting rid of the capsules too.
I see. I have coconut milk. Would that be okay?
Yes, it would.
And how many ounces? Would it be two scoops to how many ounces?
Well, what I use when I make my shakes in the morning with this, I just use a normal like milk glass. So I guess it's maybe a 12-ounce glass.
About a 12-ounce glass. Okay.
Yeah, it's nearly full.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I do mine also with about 10 to 12 ounces.
Okay.
Of of juice.
Oh, you
and
uh-huh.
In the beginning of the protocol, I really don't recommend that you put your vitamins in. But God bless John, he's not ill.
Yes.
Okay, because we have time frames for our vitamins, and it's there's a reason.
Right.
Now, you can take a certain time frame of the vitamins, like your 8:30 vitamins or your 10:30 or whatever, with your protein drink or even your lunch ones. That's up to you.
Okay.
But I wouldn't put all my vitamins in the shake when you're dealing with the beginning or heart diseases, Lyme, MRSA, Gallons, Candida. I wouldn't do it quite that way. Sorry, John.
Okay.
Oh, that's okay.
No, I was just—I just didn't know what you would recommend to use. You said almond milk, and I didn't know the ounces that was best for the. So I appreciate your answer. Thank you so much.
Yeah, almond milk works really well, and coconut milk is wonderful too.
Okay, and because of the Morgellons, would you say minus the fruit?
Yeah, especially early on, it's probably a good idea to limit the amount of sugars. Now, the fruit sugars are very different than, you know, eating candy bars or you know, whatever,
yeah.
Eating table sugar, because the body, they don't have the same glycemic index. They don't provoke an over-response by the pancreas and flood the body with insulin. Because they're combined with all the fruit fibers that are there. And so the body responds to them very differently. But bottom line, if someone is, you know, dealing with an overgrowth of yeast or fungus in the body, then you pretty much have to starve it out in the beginning by limiting the sugar, even the fruit sugars that you're taking in.
Right. So just do the milk with the one of the milks with the powder. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And you can certainly put some healthy fats in there. You know, either coconut oil or avocado.
Okay. Thank you.
Avocado.
Do you have any other questions for John?
Yeah, I just put a little bit of ice in there with it, by the way, so it makes it cold and tastes good. I put a little ice in there with it, and it makes it cold and tastes good.
Okay.
In the blender.
Sounds good.
Okay, does anybody have any questions for Peter this evening? Peter, you might recognize, because he has a thread called How Lucky Can You Get? Okay. Then I'm just going to talk briefly to all of those of you who are really new. And we're going to talk
about... What
about
questions for you, Mel?
Oh, yeah, questions for me. I forgot about those. Well, we'll get to them at the end. Let me just, some people came here for this, so let me do a quick version, and then we'll have another partner in the next show, and we'll do a longer version. So, new people, best way to utilize the website, honest to God, is read, and read some more. The highest percentage of people who get well take responsibility for their own health and really are willing to put the time in to read the knowledge that's been accumulated over 5.5 years and hundreds of documented testimonials of people who have gotten well because they were able and believed in this protocol. So I always say read some more. That's one of the keys. Well, where would you start reading? Well, you should probably start reading the FAQs, frequently asked questions, and not once, because if you're new and you have these diseases, these toxic diseases, then you also have brain fog that accompanies these toxic diseases. So the best way to ingest information, in my opinion, is to read it multiple times, until you almost have a picture of what you've read, and then it's easy to recall what it is that you were reading. Because it's so important, the whole outline is in the FAQs, and there's only 5 or 6 of them. And you can make a good determination that, yes, I could commit to this. No, I could never do all these things. And you would have an understanding of what the demands are going to be made upon you, what changes you are going to have to make, how you're going to have to learn the value of rest, how you're going to have to let go of the anxiety, how you're going to have to give up foods that you actually love. But if you want to get well, if that's your purpose, well, those are some of the things that you're going to have to do, and they're outlined in the FAQs. Then I suggest that you listen to the last three teleconference calls. The last three, not the first three, the last three. Because teleconference calls, well, you could be making a salad. You could be sitting around the dining room table. You could just be taking some relaxed time and sit there and ingest information by just listening. And the reason I ask you to go to the last ones first is that it's the evolution of our website. The best information continuously comes the more we've learned. So you go to the last one first, then you read until you can't read no more. Then you go to the next conference call, and then you go back to reading again. Well, where should I read after I did the FAQs and I'm listening? Go into the forum. Look at the community that we've created. Find out that you're not alone, and read about all the people as they get better. Hope is the first thing we offer here, and I've often said hope is only the beginning. Any of you who are new, who do these things and want my help, all you have to do is send me an email with your phone number and your time zone. Best time to get a hold of you, and I will attempt to do that. So, that's it for the short version tonight. I'm going to now open the field for questions. If anybody has a question for me, I'd be glad to answer it this evening.
I want to know how you're feeling, Mel, how you doing, and how your family is.
How am I feeling?
Yeah.
Like a grizzly cat that just woke up from the winter.
Oh, that's good.
Listen, you want to see how I'm feeling? Just look at the picture on the website. You know, I spend lots of time on the Bowflex. I spend a lot of time trying to eat right. I try to walk in the woods as much as possible so I have peaceful time. I have a new car after 15, 16, 17 months of not having a vehicle because of my car accident. I feel fantastic, Peter. And you know, I love the new Renaissance stuff. I tell everyone it's rocket fuel for the elderly.
Amen, brother.
Are there any other questions for me tonight?
No, I have a question. This is Caitlin.
Caitlin?
Yes, sir.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm okay. I have a
good
question on the Renaissance Whey. I understand what all to put in it, but how often do you recommend that? Do you just recommend it one time in the morning, or would you suggest
I'm going to let John answer that, but I take mine, it's like the second thing I take in the morning, okay? I take it separately from even my first vitamins, because, see, I do my silver in the morning, and then I have my whey protein drink, and then I'm, like, really, you know, ready cranking, and so I'm ready to, like, do some work and maybe cook some breakfast and have my 8:30 vitamins. I'm not on the entire protocol, but I will never stop taking the vitamins and the nutrients that are in the basic protocol because I am the youngest person my age I have ever met.
You are a very nice-looking man. I saw your picture.
Thank you very much.
Well, John, with that said, how would you recommend using the Renaissance Whey? Would you recommend more than just one time in the morning?
John?
Oh, I had my phone muted. Sorry. Y'all still there?
Yeah, you better ask him that question again, Kaylin.
No, I heard her. You just couldn't hear me. I apologize for that. I was just trying not to contribute to the background noise. Kaylin, thank you for asking that. That's an important question. I do recommend taking it in the morning for a couple of reasons. It stimulates your immunity. It stabilizes blood sugars throughout the day so that you have sustained energy, throughout the day. And it gets your metabolism going because your body is kind of like the difference between throwing tissue paper or a log on the fire. You throw tissue paper on the fire, it's a flash and it's gone, and all that's left is the ash. And when you throw a log on the fire, there's substance to it, and it takes time to burn up and creates much more energy, sustained energy. That's what protein does. So yeah, I definitely recommend it in the morning. And that's probably really enough to do your two scoops in the morning. But if you'd rather do one scoop in the morning and one in the afternoon, just kind of a pick-me-up, you certainly could do that.
Okay, there's one or two things I have to add here that are on my chit card here. And it is, for some of you new folks, you need to go to the articles and diet section and click recipes so you know that you don't have to starve. There are so many different categories, and including snacks and treats and things. Now, some of these recipes have sugar and sugar substitutes. Understand some of the mantras. First, do no harm. Everybody's body is different. And as far as sugar, fruits have a different type of sugar, as John was explaining, than candy bars and cookies and things like that. And the sugars that are in these recipes mostly come from fruits. So don't be confused. I always tell people that whenever you're testing any kind of food, don't eat the whole thing. Eat a bite, eat two bites. See how your body responds. Because when you're ill, your body handles foods very differently than when you're healthy. With that being said, and now it's going to be in our archives, as well as we'll add a comment in the diet section about sugar tomorrow. I'm going to say, are there any more questions for me tonight?
I have a question, Charmaine. For John.
Charmaine. How are you, dear?
Oh, I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard time with sleep. I just will not shut down. Sometimes I'm up for 2 days, and I don't understand.
Well, I would think that I never really had that scenario, so that would be a very difficult question for me to handle. Maybe John could have an explanation that might have some logic. What do you think, John? Why can't you shut down?
Well, the disruption of sleep patterns is really pretty common for people dealing with chronic illness, and especially with chronic illnesses like Morgellon. And it can be due to hormonal imbalance. It can be due to excess cortisol levels in the body, which comes from stress, and it can also be contributed to from if you're going through cycles or bouts with candida or fungal overgrowth in the body. It can really wreak havoc on our sleep patterns.
So I feel very strongly that I have a fungal thing going on. because I get a lot of like cyst-type things, and I know I have something wrong with my feet because the toenails aren't right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of pain. So, and I see the podiatrist, and she doesn't think, like my doctor said I had neuropathy, and it's not that. John mentioned, I think it's a fungal thing. But, John, is there something...
Let me say, Charmaine, that everyone who is suffering from these new toxic diseases can
mm-hmm.
almost be guaranteed that they have a fungal disorder. There's no way around it. So
yeah.
I don't know that the fungal disorder can be connected to the sleep at all. But
no,
it's certainly part of everyone's journey, and that's why diet is so key here. Because you cannot eat things that feed fungus.
I've been eating rye bread, and I have to cut back because
you can't eat rye bread when you have more gallons, Charmaine. Because
pardon me?
Like, hey, wait, Charmaine, listen. It's like Peter once told me. You know, Mel, you could go 5 months without a double chocolate Milano cookie. And the night that you bite into it's going to take your candida, your fungus, and they're going to have a celebration dance. Can't do it when you're sick because you're just giving the disease more fuel. End of story.
Hmm.
Hmm. Would you agree with me?
I'm in total agreement, but I wanted to ask John, is there something like a supplement that I can help with the sleep? Because it's driving me out of my mind. I know that I could be doing a lot better if I could get sleep.
Yeah, are you not already taking the sleep advance?
No. No, that's what I was going to ask.
Sleep Advance is very helpful on a number of fronts. It lowers the hormones in the body that promote stress, and it just helps the body relax and calm down so that you can sleep and get into deep sleep. That's the sleep that where the all prepared and all takes place.
I miss it so much. Well, this month I'll definitely start with the sleep advance.
Now, I could give you an alternative, Sean. I could come and visit and whack you with my hockey stick.
And I, Mel, I sent the email to remind you about the MMS, and you and John were going to talk about that to me privately.
Okay, well, that's privately.
Yeah, but
I did
send the email.
Good. We'll coordinate that tomorrow or the next day, dear.
Thank you so much, and I love you all.
We love you.
Are there any more questions for me tonight?
I have a question.
Who's that? I have a question.
This is Betty.
I know there's two of you. Who's that?
Betty.
Hi, Betty. How you doing, Betty?
Hi. I'm good. How are you guys? There was a question on the forum about sulfur baths, and they wanted to know where to get sulfur from.
Right. You know, I never took a sulfur bath. I got no idea what that's all about, and I'm not going to...
I know. That's what I'm wondering. Why is it on your forum then, Mike?
Because someone asked a question about it. Okay.
You can get this sulfur.
Yes, I'll have to. Eddie, I'll get to it. There's so much work, dear. I didn't respond. I'll get it done after the weekend. I never took a bath in sulfur, not once, not ever.
Yeah.
I mean, if you read my story, I took a bath in crushed alfalfa tablets, but that didn't do much good except turn me almost green.
Okay. All right, yeah, because, you know, you could get sulfur in big quantities, but I think it's for the
cost. But you don't need big quantities. You know, too much. Remember what Robert said? Americans think more is better. Well, let me tell you something. I used to be that American who thought more was better. Okay?
Right.
Let me tell you, more is not good. And if you want to stay healthy, a lot of different things, less is better.
But
never took one. Not going to recommend it. We'll respond to that post in a day or so.
And what about putting sulfur on your skin?
I don't think I ever did that either. I mean, not once, not ever.
And I'm just wondering what John thinks about all that.
Okay, John?
Well, sulfur definitely can have some beneficial properties. I believe there was a sulfur cream that was being talked about at one point on the website. And this new soap, does it not have sulfur in it, Mel?
It certainly does.
Yeah, I thought it did. Sulfur does have some very healing properties, and it's one of the most prevalent minerals in the body.
Okay.
We're recommending that people who have no allergies to sulfur add MS from their local health food store to the protocol, because we think
right.
That way it'll be beneficial. I know that it's something that I eventually added near the end of my time as I learned more, but we've been recommending that for at least 2, maybe 3 years now.
Okay.
Yeah, we actually added MSM to our line last year as well, so we have MSM capsules now.
Yeah, that's a very low form of sulfur, though. Compared to the question that person asked about taking sulfur baths, you know,
mm-hmm.
That's too much.
Yeah.
Also, for Charmaine, isn't calcium and magnesium good for sleep?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Years ago, when I was bringing up my stepchildren, I remember I was very, very much with the calcium, and I drink a lot of almond milk. It's my new, I love this stuff. But I don't know what other source to get for the calcium. My mind is so vague.
Well, if you're going to supplement with calcium long term, just make sure you're also adding magnesium to offset it so you don't end up promoting calcium.
Excuse me, say that again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you're going to take calcium, you should also take magnesium with it.
Yes, yes. But right now, I'm taking it slow because I'm 74, and if I'm going to start something new, I'm taking it easy doing one step at a time.
Slow and steady. Are there any more questions tonight? I think there are.
I have a question.
You go first, and hey, you go second.
Okay.
I have a question. Go ahead.
This is Nancy. I wanted to ask what the ratio is for creating the MMS spray that you spray on your lesions to help them heal.
Okay. You know, a lot of people ask me that, and I always talk to them about these little 8-ounce travel bottles in Walmart pharmacy section for 97 cents. And it's because they're 8-ounce bottles, and because MMS is probably only effective spraying it on the skin an hour or thereabouts. I've always used, in this 8-ounce bottle, about 8 drops of MMS, 8 drops of citric acid in a glass. Watched it turn brown, then added the water in an 8-ounce glass, and then poured it into the little spray bottle. Now, you may make it a few times in even a day, but it can't sit around for a long period of time and be as effective as it's going to be in the first 60 minutes. So I always thought, and I've always thought economically, because when I had more gallons, my only source of income was Social Security disability. So I had to be very tight with them. So if you can get the little 97 cents, little 8-ounce spray bottles, that's what I'm recommending. 8 drops of each in a glass, let it turn a little brown, add the water, pour it into the bottle, and use it.
Okay.
Okay, hey, full horses, you're next.
Hi, it's Twiggy.
Hey, Twiggy. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, absolutely fantastic, actually. I haven't been better.
Why don't you tell the folks who you are, Twiggy, and tell them how long you've been here and what's going on.
Okay, well, I post in the thread New Girly with a few questions. You might know me by that story. I type a lot, and I'm a little quirky. I'm really strict on the diet, and I haven't been posting in a while because Mel posted about it. I've been down, and I haven't even been getting off my couch. And this past week, I have been looking and feeling amazing. So I am very, very, very happy with the protocol.
How long have you been on the protocol now?
I've been on the protocol for 8 months. And I am looking myself again. I am feeling myself again. And I have more energy than before I've even been on the protocol. I am bouncing off the walls. Oh, my gosh. So I am so happy. I'm wearing makeup again. I have hair again. I'm just so happy with the way I'm looking today, especially today. I got dressed up. I went to the mall. I'm going out in public again. I'm doing great. I'm seeing friends. I'm happy.
Did you lose your hair?
What?
You said you have hair again. Did you lose your hair?
I shaved it off. I posted that I shaved it off.
Okay.
Yeah, because I didn't want to dye it anymore, and it was turning a grayish color because I had a weird color in the first place. I had to keep dyeing it green, so I had to chop it all off because I couldn't dye it anymore, and it was going to turn gray. So if I couldn't dye it anymore,
wait a minute now. You just sent me some pictures, and your hair's like brown.
Yep, I actually. Guess what? I found something that may help people. It's helping my scalp. It's henna. I can use pure henna hair dye, and it does not affect anything. It actually helps it. It's all plant based, and it's pure henna. It turns your hair red. So.
Okay, I think you need to make a little post about the product because I'm not sure I heard it right. I know I don't. We'll never get the name. So how about you make a little post tomorrow about it?
I will. And as for what I was going to say, I'll get into that. I just wanted to say to Charmaine that you already pointed this out, Mel, but diet and going in the recipe section to find substitutes is so important. Like you said, you want your rye bread? Well, you can get bread. There's a substitute for a flatbread, and you can make any sort of, deal with the flatbread, but I haven't tried it. It's a substitute for bread, and it's not going to hurt you, and there's substitutes for everything, and I think it's really key to yourself getting better that you find your substitute, and you can find almost any substitute you like in the recipe section, and people need to realize this.
Yes. I know. I've been printing out some things, and my diet, my staple is brown rice. I guess that's the Mexican in me also. But I even eat brown rice for breakfast sometimes.
Yeah, Joe, if you tolerate it, go for it. I didn't tolerate any grains or anything like that, so my substitute for rice was cauliflower rice. But I found a substitute, even if I couldn't have grains, you know what I mean? Like, I found ways around everything at the very beginning. Like, you know, milkshakes, almond milkshakes. If you can, add fruit to them. Add some pumpkin spice. Add some lemon. Add whatever you can. Vanilla beans. Vanilla beans are delicious. Anything you can to satisfy your cravings, because I had massive cravings. It turns out, you know, I posted I had an eating disorder even, and I had massive sugar cravings even after an eating disorder and Morgellons. And I had to find a substitute for everything. And I did. Even my late-night cravings, my crazy late-night cravings. There's ways to get past everything.
I realize that.
I posted about mung bean pasta. There's everything.
Let me just say this, that I've said this to every single person in the first conversation I've had with you. It is up to each individual to take responsibility for their own health. The enthusiasm and joy that is coming out of Twiggy from what she conceives as her recovery is beyond description. Twiggy, you make my heart sing tonight, kid. I've never, ever heard you this happy the year I know you.
Yes, and I believe I sent you a few pictures of how I look, right? And
Twiggy, I have a picture of you in your first post, I mean, in your first email, and I have
right.
this new picture you sent me, and let me tell you, kiddo, I mean, we can't publish them, Twiggy, but they're worth a million words. Do you understand?
And even today, actually, I found organic makeup, and I've been wearing a little bit of makeup, I'll admit, and it's not bothering me now because my skin is done purging for the most part, and that's fantastic. So
let me
ask you about the
new topical soap. How do you like this new topical soap from Nature Rich?
I think I don't want to say my skin has stopped purging in these eight months, but I think I owe my skin not purging due to that soap. I have almost, not my scalp, but my skin, like my body, has almost completely stopped purging, and I think it's because of that. So,
all right. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Twiggy? And I'm so glad you showed up tonight.
Of course. I always show up for every conference. So, don't want to miss out. And thank you. Thank you so much for this conference. It's been so informative and so great.
Congratulations, Twiggy, on how well you're doing, sweetie. That's awesome.
Can you believe it, Peter?
Do you have me muted? No?
No, I don't have you muted.
Oh, no. You know what? You hear me in the background. I'm having white on rice, I guess. Since I don't eat it. Yeah. Congratulations, Twiggy. Hey, you prove what I've been saying and what we're all experiencing. This protocol gets us well. So, you know, you got some challenges ahead. Don't settle in and get comfortable now. Stay patient, but everything you're going through is moving you right towards the end line. Congratulations, girl.
I was going to beat her up privately tomorrow.
Okay.
Slow and steady. Are there any more questions for me tonight?
Hi, Mel. This is Cynthia.
Hi, Cynthia. How you doing?
Hanging in there, Mel. Thank you.
Good.
I have a question about the MMS because I read the MMS thread, so I was a little confused because I thought somebody said five to one drop.
No. Way back in the beginning, in the early years, when the manufacturer produced the product, almost all manufacturers, they used to make citric acid less formidable or weaker. And we used to have to use 5 drops those days. Well, I eventually convinced the manufacturer that they got to change that because it's way too confusing to the average person with Morgellons who has brain fog at night when they're trying to mix it. So it's 1 drop of citric acid to 1 drop of sodium chloride.
Okay, I got it now. Okay, I haven't
I know you got
it
now.
That's right, so let me ask first before I try and do it wrong. So,
no, let's not do it wrong.
No.
All right, send me an email, and I'll call you, and we'll talk more about MMS tomorrow, okay?
Okay, thank
okay. you. Okay, are there any more questions for me tonight? Okay, then I want to say one thing, and then I'm going to ask John to end it with a prayer for us all. I'm not as religious as Peter or John. I do go to church again, but I've never felt the spirit in me like I do tonight. This is the greatest conference call we've ever had. John, would you end us tonight?
Sure. Oh, boy, it has been a wonderful night. God, I just want to thank you for tonight. I want to thank you for Robert Scott Bell and for his dedication. I want to thank you for his testimony tonight and for all the things that we've learned. It never ceases to amaze me how you put this all together. And Robert really helped us understand the many layers of ways that the silver fits in with the protocol in terms of increasing oxygenation to our bodies and at the same time going after the infections. It's just amazing. So, Father, we just thank you for ordering our steps. We thank you for the transformations that are taking place before our eyes. For those who are here who are just feeling low, feeling lonely, feeling defeated or depressed, I ask that you would just touch them tonight with your spirit. Allow them to see clear of their circumstances, to see themselves on the other side of this as transformed people who you can use their testimony and use them to bring honor and glory to yourself. And we thank you for the opportunity to serve you, Lord. Go before us tonight. Keep us all in your care. And we pray this in the mighty name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And good night, everybody. We'll have another conference call, promise, right after Thanksgiving in the week of December. Good night. And God bless everyone.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Mel.
Good night, everybody. Thank you, Mel.
Good night.
Good night.